Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastu Mahavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 17, Ecstatic Love, page 13. From 1.3.16. Bhava arising from Krishna's mercy is now considered. This mercy arises from the words of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, or just appears in the heart. Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes, however, it is found that without undergoing any devotional process, one all of a sudden develops devotion for Lord Krishna. This sudden development of the devotional attitude in a person must be understood as a special mercy of Krishna or of his devotees. This apparently accidental development of ecstatic feelings through the causeless mercy of Krishna can be divided into three groups: simply by speaking, simply by glancing, and simply by good wishes. Srila Jiva Goswami. The mercy may be produced by the words spoken by the Lord, Vachika. Alternatively, the Lord may bestow mercy, producing bhava, by showing himself to the devotee, Alokadana. On the other hand, the mercy may simply manifest in the devotee's heart, Harda. The verse starting Smeram Bhangi in the second part, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.239. Illustrates mercy by seeing the Lord. Mercy given by Vrindavan and other items are included in the mercy given by devotees. 1.3.17. Verbal mercy is shown in the Naradiya Purana. O best of the Brahmanas, may you have undeviating bhakti, bhava, for me. That bhakti is the crest jewel of all auspiciousness and full of bliss eternally. Srila Prabhupada. In the Naradiya Purana, there is a statement about development of ecstatic love simply by speaking. Lord Krishna said to Narada, O best of the Brahmanas, I wish that you may develop unalloyed devotion to me, which is full of transcendental bliss and all auspiciousness. 1.3.18. Giving mercy by showing himself is illustrated in the Skanda Purana. When they saw Krishna, who appeared like nothing they had seen before, the hearts of the residents of Jungala melted, and they could not take their eyes away from his form. Srila Prabhupada. In the Skanda Purana, there's a statement about developing ecstatic love towards Krishna simply by glancing. It is stated there, when the inhabitants of Jungala province saw the personality of Godhead Krishna, they were so stricken with feeling that they could not withdraw their glance from him. 1.3.19. The definition of Harda is given. That mercy which rises from within is called Harda. Just from there, that's how you get heart, you know? Thus it is said in the Sukha Samhita, O Bharatayana, you have given birth to a great devotee as your son. Without sadhana, which brings about the goal, bhakti to Vishnu has appeared within his heart. Srila Prabhupada. As far as heartfelt wishes are concerned, there is a statement in the Sukha Samhita where Narada tells Srila Vyasadeva, quote, you have a son who is the greatest devotee of the personality of Godhead. When I can observe that without any following of the regulated principles of devotional service, he is already enriched with many of the symptoms achieved by the execution of devotional service after many, many births. Srila Jiva Goswami. Bhakti to Vishnu, which is the goal, upaya, has appeared without sadhana, upayahi. The conclusion is that he attained bhava only by the mercy of the Lord, since there is no evidence of performance of any sadhana, or of obtaining the mercy of devotees. This mercy must have appeared through the heart, because he developed bhakti in the form of remembering the Lord while still in the womb. While in the womb, he did not see the Lord or receive words of blessings from the Lord. Thus, mercy manifesting in the heart could have been the only way. The Brahma Vivarta Puran gives the details. 1.3.21 Bhava arising from the devotee's mercy is explained in the 7th canto. Who could list the innumerable transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj? He had unflinching faith in Vasudev, Lord Krishna, and unalloyed devotion to him. His rati to Lord Krishna was Naisargiki, through mercy. Although his good qualities cannot be enumerated, they prove that he was a great soul. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.4.36. Srila Prabhupada. As for ecstatic love of Krishna, there is a statement in the 7th canto, 4th chapter, verse 36 of Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Narada addresses King Yudhishthira. My dear king, it is very difficult to describe the character of Prahlad. He developed a natural attraction for Krishna, and whatever I can explain about his character will simply be an arrangement of words. His actual character is impossible to describe. End quote. This means that Narada himself admitted that the natural development of Prahlad's ecstatic love was by the grace of Lord Krishna. 1.3.22 Favor or Nisarga was granted to Prahlad by Narada, and this created devotional impressions. Thus, his rati is called Naisargiki, through mercy. Srila Prabhupada. This natural attraction for Krishna on the part of Prahlad was developed simply by the mercy of Narada. Right? So Narada is saying it's just by the mercy of the Lord, because he's just saying he's not attributing anything to himself. But what we see is that the others are saying it's because of that association with Narada Muni. When Prahlad Maharaj was within the womb of his mother, he was being sympathetically instructed by Narada about the science of devotional service. And at the same time, Narada is wishing that the child within the womb could also take advantage of the instructions. Because Narada, an authorized devotee and great associate of the personality of Godhead, was desiring auspiciousness for Prahlad Maharaj, he developed all the characteristics of a high-grade devotee. This is called natural attraction. It is caused by the special grace of the personality of Godhead, or by the special grace of a great devotee like Narada. 1.3.23 Bhava arising by a devotee's mercy is also illustrated in the Skanda Purana. O Narada, you are noble. By your mercy, the hunter, though low in nature, immediately developed goosebumps and attained rati for Lord Achyuta. Srila Prabhupada. There's a statement in the Skanda Purana wherein Parvata Muni tells Narada, quote, my dear Narada, of all saintly persons, you are so great and glorious that simply by your good wishes, a low-born hunter has also become a great, elevated devotee of Lord Krishna. End quote. 1.3.24 According to the different types of devotees, with five different sthaibhavas, there are five different types of rati. These will be considered and explained later, and thus will not be discussed here. Srila Prabhupada. The ecstatic love for Krishna can be divided into five divisions, which will be described by Srila Rupa Goswami later on. Right? Because there's great detail there, but as we pointed out, is that the rati and the prema experienced is categorized as two things, because the rati is that attraction to Krishna, right? And then that position in which that's applied, then that's the Sthayi Bhava and all these other aspects. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Right. So this exclusively describes the supreme independent nature of bhakti.
Yes.
Because for the Kripa Siddhas, even like without performing any activity, it's manifested.
Yes.
So the bhakti has that independent nature.
Yes.
And the Supreme Lord having that independent nature, if he wishes.
Yes. But that's what Prabhupada is saying, is that one goes to school. One doesn't go to school and expect that he's going to get an honorary PhD. Right? You perform your duties, you do everything like that, and then you get your results. So that's always something that you have to be very careful of. Is that these persons, that they're all in contact with devotional service. That's why they're getting it. Does that make sense?
So basically this removes any kind of, people may have that, if I don't perform a technique and all this, if they go more on the externals rather than depending upon the mercy of spiritual master and devotees, then it will not work like all other processes. That makes bhakti different from other processes.
Yes, you have to be dependent upon the Lord and the devotees. But the point is that the activities that you perform, those themselves are then what is Krishna's mercy is coming through that. Does that make sense? That you perform the activities of sadhana bhakti, that pleasing Krishna, then you get his mercy. But even without performing those, there are instances where devotees have gotten mercy. But as Prabhupada pointed out, one doesn't just sit back and expect that. One performs sadhana. But like as you said, it points out the independent nature of bhakti. It's not dependent upon the sadhana, but it's the natural course of how things work. Yeah. In fact, so they give a few examples of how it works, of the independent nature. But they're not saying that that's what people should do. Okay, chapter 18. Character of one in ecstatic love. So that was Baba, and now the character of one in Baba. 1:3, 25-26. The anubhavas, or characteristics of a person who has developed the bud of bhava, are as follows. Tolerance, not wasting time, detachment from enjoyment, pridelessness, confidence in the Lord's mercy, longing for the Lord, taste for chanting the name of the Lord, attachment to discussing about the Lord's qualities, and attachment to living in the abode of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. Rupa Goswami next describes the characteristics of a person who has actually developed his ecstatic love for Krishna. The characteristics are as follows. 1. He is always anxious to utilize his time in the devotional service of the Lord. He does not like to be idle. He wants service always, 24 hours a day, without deviation. 2. He is always reserved and perseverant. 3. He is always detached from all material attraction. 4. He does not long for any material respect in return for his activities. 5. He is always certain that Krishna will bestow his mercy upon him. 6. He is always very eager to serve the Lord faithfully. 7. He is very much attached to the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. 8. He is always eager to describe the transcendental qualities of the Lord. 9. He is very pleased to live in a place where the Lord's pastimes are performed. For example, Mathura, Vrindavan, and Dwarka. 1:3, 27. Translation. What is that? Why is there a translation there? Yeah, I don't think we need that. Tolerance is defined as follows. Tolerance means being undisturbed, even when there is cause for disturbance. Right? That's the whole thing. We're tolerant just that nothing's going wrong and we're tolerant, that's there. But when there's cause for there to be disturbance and you're not disturbed, that's tolerance. Right? Not looking for respect means you're in a position you should be respected, but people aren't. And you're not looking for that. Right? 1:3, 28.
I think he might have given the words and I omitted the verse, the Sanskrit itself. So, you might have given the verse and written the translation.
But most of these were doing that.
Yeah, but.
Oh, well, yeah.
He mentioned some of the verses.
Oh, so these may have been verses that
you mentioned, but because it is big anyway, we don't remember and omitted.
Okay. Yeah, so then check when it comes. 1.3.28. In the first canto, tolerance of the Bhava Bhakta is illustrated as follows. O Brahmanas, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul, and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird, or whatever magical thing the Brahman created, bite me at once. I only desire that you will continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.19.15. Srila Prabhupada. Perseverance. Right, so now we're going through. So we see here is there's a list given of all of them together so that you can see them all together. Then there'll always be a description where they go through each one of them. Like that. Does that make sense? And sometimes it might even have three levels, where there'll be a general description, and then they'll get into detail. Perseverance. When a person is undisturbed, even in the presence of various causes of disturbance, he is called reserved and perseverant. An example of this perseverance and reservation is found in the behavior of King Parikit, as described in the first canto, 19th chapter, verse 15 of Srimad Bhagavatam. The king says there to all the sages present before him at the time of his death, "My dear Brahmanas, you should always accept me as your surrendered servant. I have come to the bank of the Ganges just to devote my heart and soul under the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So please bless me, the Mother Ganges may also be pleased with me. Let the curse of the Brahmana's son fall upon me, I do not mind. I only request that at the last moment of my life, all of you will kindly chant the holy name of Vishnu, so that I may realize his transcendental qualities." And what is this indented? Is it just... I think it's not just supposed to be regular. This example of Maharaj Pariksit's behavior, his remaining patient even at the last point of his life, his undisturbed condition of mind, is an example of reservation. This is one of the characteristics of a devotee who has developed a static love for Krishna. Is it, or is it Vijay?
I think it's the normal.
Okay. You can check in Nectar Devotion. Srila Jiva Goswami. Quote, "May the Brahmanas accept Pariyantu, me as a surrendered soul. Since I have fixed my mind on the Lord, Ganga should also accept me." Just as the great tolerance of Parikit is seen here because of his great prema, it is understood that when he had previously developed bhava, the sprout of prema, his tolerance also had sprouted in a similar way. Other examples should be understood in the same way. So when bhava comes up, then all these qualities, these nine qualities, will naturally come up with it. Does that make sense? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Parikit was not disturbed, though understanding his approaching death, which was a cause for disturbance. Right? For most people, if they're seeing they're going to die, they generally have a tendency to get disturbed. But Parikit Maharaj was undisturbed, because he was just absorbed in the Lord. Right? 1.3.29. Not wasting time is illustrated in Hari Bhakti Shudodoy. The devotees constantly praise the Lord with words, remember him with their minds, and offer respects with their bodies. Still they are not satisfied. With tears flowing from their eyes, they offer their complete lives to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. Utilization of time. An unalloyed devotee who has developed a static love for Krishna is always engaging his words in reciting prayers to the Lord. Within the mind, he is always thinking of Krishna. And with his body, he either offers obeisances by bowing down before the deity or engages in some other service. During these ecstatic activities, he sometimes sheds tears. In this way, his whole life is engaged in the service of the Lord, with not a moment wasted on any other engagement. It's just because... It's just that they're focused on that and just, you know, oh no, I gotta do something, and that they'd rather sit down, but no, I should do something. But that's us, that's sadhana, because we know it's better. For them, it's just, they're not interested in doing something else. They just wanna be engaged in service. So it's just a natural mood. So we practice that. That's why sadhana brings us to this platform, is that we're practicing doing these activities. So these activities are what we're striving for in sadhana. But they're naturally obtained in bhava. 1.3.30. Detachment is defined as follows. Detachment means having a natural distaste for the objects of the senses. Srila Jiva Goswami. Here detachment is the cause and distaste is the effect. But they are considered the same in the definition because they are mutually dependent. Right? So when it has no interest, and so therefore there's a distaste. Right? So they go together. But he's just pointing out that they have their steps. So there's no interest in engaging the senses in sense gratification. That's the position that comes here. We'll know it's not good, so we'll try to control and regulate in these aspects. But here it's that on the platform of bhava, there's just a natural non-interest in engaging the senses in sense gratification. As we saw before, they just want to be engaged in service. That's all they want to do. 1.3.31. Detachment is illustrated in the fifth canto. While in the prime of life, the great... Oh, I see. That's the three levels. That three levels is he's given the list, then the second level he's given the definition, and the third one he's giving the example. While in the prime of life, the great Maharaj Bharata gave up everything because he was fond of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Uttama Shloka. He gave up his beautiful wife, nice children, great friends, and an enormous empire. Although these things are very difficult to give up, Maharaj Bharata was so exalted that he gave them up just as one gives up stool after evacuating. Such was the greatness of his majesty. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.14.43. Because there's just no interest like that. Does that make sense? So, yeah, it's a state of mind. Because like the Brahmin, he doesn't pay a particular attention here. So then it's very easy to just move on from that. So in the same way as you have all these nice facilities, but those nice facilities aren't what's attractive. That is performance of duties towards Krishna that's attractive. So one's performing the activities in connection with Krishna. And so then, so whether if it's favorable to be in that situation, you can be in that situation. And if it's not, then you can leave. Because one's not doing these activities because of attachment. One's doing these things because of service to Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada, detachment. The senses are always desiring sense enjoyment. But when a devotee develops transcendental love for Krishna, the senses are no longer attracted by material desires. This state of mind is called detachment. There is a nice example of this detachment in connection with the character of King Bharata. In the fifth canto, 14th chapter, verse 43 of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Emperor Bharata was so attracted by the beauty of the lotus feet of Krishna that even in his youthful life he gave up all kinds of attachments to family, children, friends, kingdom, etc., as though they were untouchable stools. And so he's just not interested. He's so attracted to Krishna, he's not attracted to anything else. That's the position. So by devotional service, we can come to that platform, and then it's a natural thing. You're just absorbed in Krishna. Emperor Bharata provides a typical example of detachment. He had everything enjoyable in the material world, but he left it. This means that detachment does not mean artificially keeping oneself aloof and apart from allurements of attachment. Even in the presence of such allurements, if one can remain unattracted by material attachments, he is called detached. So it's not that he had these things, he was very attached to them, and then at one point he just decided, oh, I'm being detached. It means he's detached, whether he's in family life with all these different aspects, or he's left. It's the same position. Why? Because he's absorbed in the Lord. So, yeah. In the beginning, of course, a neophyte devotee must try to keep himself apart from all kinds of alluring attachments. But the real possession of a mature devotee is that even in the presence of all allurements, he is not at all attracted. This is the actual criterion of detachment. Right? So even see just in the social development within the Vedic system, the brahmacharis are away from the from material attachment. You know, because in the beginning, if they're around, then they get attracted. So they're away from these things. And then they just perform their duties, they're always absorbed, right? Because here is that you're so not interested in material things, you're so absorbed in Krishna, you're engaged in activities all day in relation to Krishna. Yes?
It's important here to understand the difference between detachment and aversion. Because the body is sometimes misunderstood this point. And
yes, of course. Because that's the whole point, is that there's detachment even when one's involved in these activities. So that's the thing, is that if one's attracted, then the opposite will be aversion. Aversion just means things don't go so well, so then comes the opposite. So here, as we see, is that the position is that when so absorbed in Krishna, that one is so absorbed in Krishna, one's always engaged in activities connected to Krishna. Right, so the brahmachari then is in a position where he's not in the environment of sense gratification, and he's always engaged in the activities of the Lord. So you get used to the practice of that is there, and being engaged in that practice, when it comes situated nicely, then as a grihastha, then one can be engaged properly in all the duties without having that undue attachment. And then by engaging that in Krishna's service, then one becomes purified, and then one just naturally is absorbed in Krishna. And as much as said, it's not aversion. It's just there's not an interest. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like I say, I have this old pair of Nike shoes and all that. They're kind of falling apart and all that. But you want a bite? You know, we washed them, you know. It's just no interest. You know, so it's just not something you would think about. It's not that you walk along when you see someone go by with a nice pair of shoes, you go, ooh, I'd like to have a bite of that one. You know, so when they come back, they thought they had full shoes, and they come back, there's no toes, and then thought, I didn't think I bought sandals. I thought I bought, you know, running shoes and that, you know. You understand? So it's just, there's no interest. And so it's not that you're fighting with it, it's just no interest. So that's the whole point. So aversion means then you're seeing the negative side of it, and so therefore you're giving it up. And as a practice, that can work. But the problem is that's not actually what you're trying to obtain. You're trying, as Prabhupada, when he translates it, you see, it's about being absorbed in them. Right? The great Mahabharata gave up everything because he was fond of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Emperor Bharata was so attracted by the beauty of the lotus feet of Krishna that even in his youthful life he gave up all kinds of attachments. So it's that he's absorbed in Krishna. That's why there's the detachment. It's not that he's not absorbed in Krishna and then there's aversion. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point of taking things, engaging in Krishna's service. The result is for Krishna. And then one gets purified. Pridelessness is defined as follows. Pridelessness means, in spite of having a high position, remaining humble. 1.3.33. Pridelessness is illustrated in the Padma Purana. King Bhagirath, though the crest jewel among kings, went out begging at the house of his enemies and offered respects to the dog eaters because he had rati for the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. Pridelessness. When a devotee, in spite of possessing all qualities of pure realization, is not proud of his position, he is called prideless. In the Padma Purana is stated that King Bhagirath was the emperor above all other kings. Yet he developed such ecstatic love for Krishna that he became a mendicant and went out begging even to the homes of his political enemies and untouchables. He was so humble that he respectfully bowed down before them. There are many similar instances in the history of India. Even very recently, about 200 years ago or less, one big landlord known as Lal Babu, a Calcutta landholder, became a Vaishnava and lived in Vrindavan. He also begged from door to door, even at the homes of his political enemies. Begging involves being ready to be insulted by persons to whose home one has come. That is natural, but one has to tolerate such insults for the sake of Krishna. The devotee of Krishna can accept any position in the service of Krishna. So that aspect is that you become so absorbed in Krishna that these things aren't a disturbance. Right? So how much is recommended in practice, that much we do. And then the balance comes naturally as we get purified, then we like to act in that way. Does that make sense? So one doesn't have to overly be, how you say, stressing these points. But it's not that you don't have to, you have to be aware of it and understand, and therefore practice. One 334. Confidence is defined as follows. Confidence means firm assumption that one will attain the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. Great hope. The strong conviction that one will certainly receive the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called in Sanskrit Ashabandha. Ashabandha means to continue to think. Quote, because I am trying my best to follow the routine principles of devotional service, I am sure that I will go back to Godhead, back to home. Right? It has that faith. It means it's been given by the acharyas. Krishna says follow this. They say follow this. Everyone says by following this, then you'll attain, you'll go back to Godhead. Then we should have that faith that it will work. 1335. An example of confidence is the following statement of Sanatana Goswami. I do not have prema or the practices of hearing or chanting in bhakti. I have no practice of meditation of Vishnu in the Ashtanga Yoga process. Nor do I have practices of jnana or varnashram duties. I do not even have good birth to execute these actions properly. But since you are the most merciful to the least qualified, O dear Lord of the Gopis, though I have impure desires, my aspiration for you continues to agitate me. Srila Prabhupada. In this connection, one prayer by Rupa Goswami is sufficient to exemplify this hopefulness. He says, I have no love for Krishna, nor for the causes of developing love for Krishna. Right? I have no love for Krishna, nor for anything that was going to get me love for Krishna. Right? Yeah. Namely, hearing and chanting. And the process of bhakti, by which one is always thinking of Krishna and fixing his lotus feet in the heart, is also lacking in me. As far as philosophical knowledge or pious works are concerned, I don't see any opportunity for me to execute such activities. But, above all, I'm not even born in a nice family. Therefore, I must simply pray to you, Gopijana Vallabha, Krishna, maintainer and beloved of the gopis. I simply wish and hope that some way or other I may be able to approach your lotus feet. And this hope is giving me pain, because I think myself quite incompetent to approach that transcendental goal of life. The purport is that under this heading of Ashabandha, one should continue to hope against hope that some way or other he will be able to approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Right? So we're seeing is that there's the process that will bring you to bhava, and we see that by the Lord's mercy, that can bring you to bhava. But we see that one on the platform of bhava, he's thinking that I'm unqualified, I have no attraction to Krishna, but he has firm faith that by serving Krishna, one day he'll be successful. Right? Because it's all by the mercy of Krishna. It's not that by my sadhana. Right? He's performing the activities, but he says, I don't have any taste for them. I'm doing them because I'm supposed to. But Krishna is so merciful that he's hoping against hope that one day Krishna will be kind. Right? He doesn't have any doubt. Right? So, Srila Jiva Goswami. Yoga indicates Ashtanga Yoga. When meditation on Vishnu is prominent in that yoga, it becomes Vaishnava Yoga. This meditation incorporating Vishnu or other deities in meditation is called Sagarbha in the yoga system. Jnana refers to steadiness in Brahman. Subha karma refers mainly to varnashram activities. Good birth is the cause of attaining qualification for the previously mentioned items of yoga, jnana, and karma. Now, because good birth then generally means you have good qualities, those good qualities and facilities, then you're able to engage in these processes. These other processes are shown as causes of attaining the Lord, only because of the accompanying performance of bhakti, which is also mentioned in the list. Concerning yoga, Kapila shows in the third canto of Bhagavatam how yoga can be combined with bhakti, footnote 10. In chapter 28, Kapila describes the process of Astanga Yoga with meditation on the form of the Lord, right? So that becomes the Vaishnava Yoga. The position of jnana in relation to bhakti is shown in the Gita in the verse Brahma-bhuta prasanatma, Bhagavad Gita 18:54, footnote 11. Even to perfect jnana or realization of Brahman, a person must perform bhakti. Shubha karma should also be practiced with bhakti, as is illustrated by Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adhoksa Jay. The culmination of religion is that varnashram from which bhakti to the Lord arises. Culmination of religion is that varnashram from which bhakti to the Lord arises. Yeah, so the Daiva Varnashram. 1-6. And then this is still Jiva Goswami. Quote, I have a thirst, asha, for attaining the Lord, not motivated by prema for the Lord, but by a desire for my own happiness, since I have deeply rooted desires for personal enjoyment, which are difficult to remove. Acheda mula. What then should I do? I continue to hanker for you, because I think that you can turn that material desire into prema, since you are extra merciful to those who are most deficient. Hin artadika sadake. So he's feeling just unqualified, but you see is that he has that full faith that Krishna, being kind, then it can go the other way. He can develop that love for Krishna. Right? So that's the whole point, is that firm faith in this, right? Vyayate is in the Atmane Pada form instead of the Parasmai Pada because of the rule Ananav Akarmanach Chitvat Kartritva, Panini 1388. Right? Got it? Yeah, of course. Okay. Generally, causative forms are in the Parasmai Pada, but if the agent is not sentient, then the causative verb takes the Atmane Pada. The author considers himself insentient, and this is indicated by the Atmane Pada form. The lack of qualification expressed in the verse is only an expression of humility, since he is actually not fallen. And thus the verse is used as an example of a person at the stage of Rati. Yeah. Does that make sense? So he refers to himself, as that from the insentient, it's just like he's like a stone or something like that. Like you see, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, he says that, a stone-like heart, or these kind of things, yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The yoga is Vaishnava yoga. The jnanam is knowledge concerning the Lord. The shubha karma is services performed by the devotee. Thus the meaning is, quote, I do not perform hearing and chanting with devotion. I do not concentrate my mind on the Lord. I have no knowledge of the Lord, nor do I perform any service for the Lord. I do not have a birth suitable for serving the Lord. I have been born among the lowest people. By seeing or touching them, one must bathe for purification. Yeah, technically, I guess that's right. My unflinching desire for you, who make yourself readily available to the least qualified, gives me great disturbance. End quote. It should be understood that the desire expressed in this verse, it is a desire only for attaining service at the level of prema, arising from pure bhakti, devoid of jnana, karma, or yoga. Because it is supposed to be an example of ashabandhana, or ashabandha, confidence expressed at the stage of bhava. Other explanations are not mentioned because they are impossible. Because right? Otherwise he's saying all these things, but it's just showing his expression of confidence. That's what's being brought out. You know, people aren't, you know, it's like that example of Gaurikishore Das Babaji Maharaj said that after his death, because he's so fallen, that his body should be dragged through the streets of Navadvip. So the Babajis then were ready to do that because he said, no, that was his desire. The Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying, no, that's just his humility. You know, you're not supposed to drag his body like this. Yeah. So, yeah. 1336. That's what it means. These other explanations aren't possible. Longing is now defined. Longing means, quote, having intense greed for attaining service to the Lord, end quote. 1337. An example of longing for the Lord is given in Krishna Karinamrita 54. I long to see that young Krishna who enchants the universe with his bent black eyebrows, with his thick eyelashes, with his attractive shifty eyes, with his soft words which melt the heart, with his sweet red lips, and with the intoxicating sound emanating from the clear notes of his flute. Srila Prabhupada, eagerness for achieving the desired success. When one is sufficiently eager to achieve success in devotional service, that eagerness is called samutkanta. This means complete ignorance, complete eagerness. Actually, this eagerness is the price for achieving success in Krishna consciousness. Everything has some value, and one has to pay the value before obtaining or possessing it. It is stated in the Vedic literature that to purchase the most valuable thing, Krishna consciousness, one has to develop intense eagerness for achieving success. So one has to actually want it. That's the point. You're performing the activity, but why are you performing the activity of bhakti, right, of sadhana? To achieve prema. So when one is aware of that, that's why you're doing that, right? Not that it's just right or it's good or like that, but you actually want, then the process goes quicker. So we see here on the platform of bhava, they naturally have this, so then very quickly they move from bhava to prema. So any of these qualities that they have, if we try to practice them and emulate them, then it will make the process of sadhana go quicker. This intense eagerness is very nicely expressed by Bilja Mangal Thakur in his book Krishna Karinamrita. He says, I am eagerly awaiting to see that boy of Vrindavan, whose bodily beauty is captivating the whole universe, whose eyes are always bound by black eyebrows and expanded like lotus petals, and who is always eagerly glancing over his devotees and therefore moving slightly here and there. His eyes are always moist, his lips are colored like copper, and through those lips there comes a sound vibration which drives one's madder than a mad elephant. I want so much to see him at Vrindavan. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. My eyes long for the form of Krishna which enchants the universe. End quote. This expresses his desire to see the Lord. How does that Lord look? He has two dark eyebrows, slightly curved. What else? His eyelashes are beautiful with densely growing long hairs. So we can see where the modern kind of concept comes from. His sweet lips are intensely red. We also see where that comes from. The clear sounds emanating from his flute are also intoxicating. Yes.
Can the person on that level have anarthas, technically?
Can they have anarthas?
Person on the level that I discussed.
And this means they don't have anarthas as such, because they're past now anartha nivritti. So they've given up all these things, but the fragrance is still there. In other words, they may not have the drive that is there in someone who has prema. Right? So that will be the obstacle. So as these are developing, then they move forward quicker and quicker. Does that make sense? That's all. But otherwise, they don't have the material attachments or anything that we have. There's no attachment to karma and jnana. It's just a very, very subtle aspect of being in the Brahma Bhuta. The neutral state may be more prominent than it should be. Right? It's supposed to be you're neutral to the material world, not neutral to Krishna.
But those devotees, do I describe them? They're not neutral.
No, but it's not to the intensity of that of someone in prema.
But it's just the intensity would be the difference.
Yes, the intensity. Because the That means that the living entity being tatastha, that means neutral. There's a natural, inherent nature to be in contact with Krishna and be directly involved in activities with Krishna, right, in prema. But until it's moved to there, it's not there. Right? And so then from being in the material world, then the tendency is to be away from Krishna. And now that one's given that up by practicing devotion towards Krishna, now that neutral state you should go through very easily. Does that make sense? So, if that desire, as we saw, that desire is more, as that intensifies, then one gets more and more opportunity to take advantage of that association. But if the desire is less, then you see that they won't get the association of the eternal associates. But they'll be in Vrindavan, they'll be there, they'll be absorbed in Krishna, but it won't be to that degree. And when it's that more, they get the association of the devotees. Then it moves forward very quickly. So basically that's the difference between rati and prema, is the intensity. The exclusiveness, that's what makes the intensity. 1.3.38. Taste for chanting in the name of the Lord is illustrated. O Govinda, today the young girl with a sweet voice, whose lotus eyes are streaming with tears of honey, is singing your names. Srila Prabhupada, attachment to chanting the holy names of the Lord. In the same Krishna Karyanamrita, there's another statement about the chanting of Radharani. It is said by one of the associates of Radharani, O Govinda, the girl who is the daughter of King Vrishabhanu is now shedding tears, and she is anxiously chanting your holy name, Krishna, Krishna. Attachment to discussing about the Lord's qualities is described in the Krishna Karyanamrita, 88. That youthful Krishna with the qualities of Cupid, who is extremely sweet and extremely fickle, has stolen my heart. What should I do? Srila Prabhupada, eagerness to describe the Lord's transcendental qualities. Attachment to chanting the glories of the Lord is also expressed in the Krishna Karyanamrita as follows. What shall I do for Krishna, who is pleasing beyond all pleasurable conceptions, and who is naughtier than all restless boys? The idea of Krishna's beautiful activities is attracting my heart, and I do not know what I can do. Right? It's just they're so eager and so attracted, so attached that they don't know what to do. Right, there's a saying in English, someone's beside themselves. You know, it's just that they want so much that they, you know, may have trouble doing something, being absorbed. Yeah. I mean, not absorbed, but actually affecting it. 1.3.40. An example of attachment for the abode of the Lord is found in the Padyavali. Nanda's house was here. This is where Krishna broke the cart. Here is where Damodar, who cuts the material bondage, was bound up by ropes. End quote. When will I be fortunate enough to wander about in Mathura with tears in my eyes, drinking such streams of nectar flowing from the mouth of an elder of Mathura? Padyavali 121. Srila Prabhupada. Attraction for living in a place where Krishna has his pastimes. In the book Padyavali by Rupa Goswami, there is the following statement about Vrindavan. Quote, in this place, the son of Nanda Maharaj used to live with his father, who was king of all cowherd men. In this place, Lord Krishna broke the cart in which the Shakatasura demon was concealed. At this place, Damodar, who can cut the knot of our material existence, was tied up by his mother, Jashoda. End quote. A pure devotee of Lord Krishna resides in the district of Mathura or Vrindavan, and visits all the places where Krishna's pastimes were performed. At these sacred places, Krishna displayed his childhood activities with the cowherd boys and Mother Jashoda. The system of circumambulating all these places is still current among devotees of Lord Krishna, and those coming to Mathura and Vrindavan always feel transcendental pleasure. Actually, if someone goes to Vrindavan, he will immediately feel separation from Krishna, who performed such nice activities when he was present there. Such attraction for remembering Krishna's activities is known as attachment for Krishna. There are impersonalist philosophers and mystics, however, who by a show of devotional service want ultimately to merge into the existence of the Supreme Lord. They sometimes try to imitate a pure devotee's sentiment for visiting holy places where Krishna had his pastimes, but they simply have a view for salvation, and so their activities cannot be considered attachment. Srila Jiva Goswami. Mathura here means the whole Mathura Mandala, thus including Braj, which is described in the verse. Sometimes the word Vrajabhuvam is found replacing the word Madhupurim. So it's just if the acharyas are talking about Mathura, that means it's the whole district, and Vrindavan's in that district. The point is if there's some other alternative, some other motive other than pure devotion, then performing these activities, we see like the impersonalists, they are performing these activities because by bhakti they figure they'll get liberation quicker, and which they can. But it's not considered attachment. It's just they're performing the activities, but they're actually just, you know, interested in something else. So just to be careful that sometimes we see is that you have these, you find in India people who are like this.
Like from karma that they're trying to get in.
That means they're performing it just as because Nishkam Karma Yoga, then they know that from that you get liberation.
Okay.
So they're only performing it because it'll give liberation, not because they actually attracted to Krishna. It's just that this is the method to how you can get, so they're willing to follow. You know, just like, let's say, I go to the government minister, and so I will behave nicely because I want him to sign the paper, not that I care about him at all. It's just the etiquette. So the same way, as these are the practices that one does, so they're willing to follow them, but it's not that they actually really care about Krishna as a person.
But you could develop it.
Means devotees could, but the impersonalists generally won't because that's not their interest. They don't associate with devotees. Right? They just present themselves as something, someone advanced, and then therefore people respect them. Right? Because otherwise you could think like this and not say anything. Right? You could think like this that means if their motive was to actually develop for Krishna, you don't have to tell everybody that that's the whole point. But they let people very definitely know that they're doing these activities, that they're absorbed and, oh, it's so wonderful, and all. They really make a show out of it. It's a full drama like that. You know, you could probably get a nomination for something, right? Like that. But otherwise, you could have that same attitude and not make a show of it. So that's the whole point, they make a show. So one should not get distracted by such shows. 1.3.41. However, it should be said, if softness of the heart, the symptom of rati, becomes clearly visible in persons desiring liberation, or in other unqualified persons, it is not real rati. Right? So now he's pointing out, it's just so you... just so that one knows. Srila Jiva Goswami. It's been stated that the quality of real rati is having the desire only to please the Lord. If other desires are present, it should not be considered rati, in spite of the presence of other symptoms such as sattvika bhavas. That is explained in this verse. Right? Because any of these things, which means the point is that someone on this platform has all of these. Right? So something may be prominent or something like that. but it shouldn't be considered that it's rati if they have a desire other than pleasing Krishna. The phrase api cha, moreover, should mean api tu, however. If the rati characterized by internal softness, melting of the heart, or what happens to be so, becomes visible in persons, such as those desiring liberation, it should not be considered real rati, because persons desiring liberation have other desires. One should not think that if a person has strong desires for things other than Krishna, it can be called rati for that particular object. For instance, rati for liberation. You know, means people say, oh, he has devotion to his occupation or his family or his country. You can't technically call it that. People do. You know what I'm saying? It's a general term. And then because of that, we understand the concept of devotion. And then from that, then we can relate that to service to Krishna, like we're discussing in the Tattva Sandarbha. Right? You take something that you're used, you can relate to, and then take that back to the Lord. Right? It's under a proper direction, so you know how it works. So it's not an ascending process. Yeah? How can rati appear in persons having desires for enjoyment or liberation? Those persons do not perform pure bhakti. Rati is sought out by those liberated from all desires and is not given immediately by Krishna, even to the devotees, since it is most secret. Srila Prabhupada. It is said by Rupa Goswami that the attachment exhibited by pure devotees for Krishna cannot possibly be perfected in the hearts of fruit of workers, karmis, or mental speculators, because such attachment in pure Krishna consciousness is very rare and not possible to achieve even for many liberated persons. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, 1854, liberation from material contamination is the stage at which devotional service can be achieved. For a person who simply wants to have liberation and to merge into the impersonal Brahma Jyotir, attachment to Krishna is not possible to acquire. This attachment is very confidentially kept by Krishna, and is bestowed only upon pure devotees. Even ordinary devotees cannot have such pure attachment to Krishna. Therefore, how is it possible for success to be achieved by persons whose hearts are contaminated by the actions and reactions of prudent activities and who are entangled by various types of mental speculation? There are many so-called devotees who artificially think of Krishna's pastimes, known as Astakalya Lila. Sometimes one might artificially imitate these, pretending that Krishna is talking with him in the form of a boy, or else one may pretend that Radharani and Krishna both have come to him and are talking with him. Such characteristics are sometimes exhibited by the impersonalist class of men, and they may captivate some innocent persons who have no knowledge in the science of devotional service. However, as soon as an experienced devotee sees all these caricatures, he can immediately evaluate such rascaldom. If such a pretender is sometimes seen possessing imitative attachment to Krishna, that will be not accepted as real attachment. It may be said, however, that such attachment gives the pretender hope that he may eventually rise onto the actual platform of pure devotional service. Right? So if they somehow or another get the association of devotees, then giving up that mundane purpose, they can come to devotional service. But that position itself doesn't have any value in devotional service. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.